Praise God. Just turn to those around you and say, never. Never, ever. There's something in the Word of God that says you're never to do. And at the end of the message, I'll tell you what. See how discerning you are to see if you can discover what this never is before I tell you. We've had an exciting few weeks in Kingdom Faith. We had that amazing time at camp. And since then, there's been so much victory in so many lives. As people have learned to take authority, I think the whole level of faith in people's lives has gone up to a new level. And now God is speaking to us about our relationships of love for one another. Because, of course, the motto really of Kingdom Faith is faith working through love. Let's have the first caption up. This morning, I'm going to give you an overview, really, of what God is doing. Reminding you of some things that you know well, but as we know, it's not what you know that matters, but what you do with what you know. So, it's really a time to check out our hearts. Am I doing these things because they're in my heart? God actually wants to show you this morning what is going on in your heart. And of course, He is the one who perceives what is happening in our hearts far more than we are able to see for ourselves. And the scriptures help us to understand how we can check the nature of our hearts by certain things that we do or don't do. So when we look at the scripture, we see that there is so much that we are to do from the heart. Now, Pastor Clive was preaching last week from the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verse 22, where it says that we are to love one another deeply from the heart. Now, the word heart in Scripture is a little bit difficult because it can be used in a number of different ways. But when it's used in the way that I'm talking this morning, it's not talking about emotion. As we heard last week, the love with which we are to love one another is that love that is expressed in action. But the desire to do those actions of love have to come from the deepest part of us, from your spirit, from your heart, from your innermost being. What we see in Scripture is that God does not like anything superficial. To God, what is superficial is unreal. The only thing that is real is what comes from your heart. So superficial love to God is meaningless, pointless, useless. The only thing that really counts is the love that comes from the heart. In other words, when you love, when you express that love in the various ways that we'll see later, your heart is in what you're doing. When your heart is in what you're doing, then God is glorified. When your heart isn't in it, then He's not satisfied. So Jesus says that we have to speak from the heart. And He says that a good man brings good things from what is in his heart. If your heart is good, you will speak what is good. If your heart is not right, then you will speak accordingly. So Jesus says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he wants us to speak good, positive, life-giving, encouraging, upbuilding things from the heart. Then the scripture also says that we are to believe from the heart. You don't have salvation unless you believe from your heart. That's what we read in Romans chapter 10. That we believe with the heart and so are saved. So some person making some superficial commitment to Jesus is not saved. You are only saved when from your heart you believe. That's the only thing that really counts as far as God is concerned. Then we're told that we have to worship from the heart. So if when you were singing those songs, your heart was not in it, God was not glorified, God was not blessed, you did not actually worship, as he understands worship. The only worship that is acceptable to God is worship that comes from spirit and truth, from the heart, and is an expression of truth. So we're to worship from the heart. The scripture actually says we are to make music in our hearts when we worship. So the music doesn't come from up here. The music comes from your heart. That's the music that God is listening to. Not just to see whether the instrumentalists get the right tune right, but he's listening to your heart to see if you're making music to the Lord from your heart. Are we getting this? Then Paul says that we have to obey God from the heart. Just a superficial act of obedience does not glorify the Lord. What he wants is hearts that obey him, because, of course, if we love him, we will obey him. So from God's perspective, everything has to come from the heart. Where even to our work is even to come from the heart. We are to put our hearts in our work, in whatever we do. And actually, this is not just our work for the Lord. What the scripture says, in all the work we do. When you go to work tomorrow morning, you are to work with all your heart. You ought to be the best worker in the factory, in the business, or whatever it is. Because everything is to be done from the heart. Nothing half-hearted, nothing superficial. The reason why God chose David is that he had a heart after God's own heart. And let me just ask a simple question. Can you imagine God ever doing anything half-heartedly? You see, so we are to worship God, we are to love God, we are to serve God with all our hearts, wholeheartedly, because that expresses what God does. Okay, now, one of the things that many of you will have been familiar with, although those of you who've joined the church in recent times, perhaps you haven't heard this unless you've read some of my books, because it's in those, about the fivefold confession of faith. Now, I'm just going to take you through this, because the faith has to be working through love. You know, God works by addition, not replacement. Just because we've had a great time of faith and authority, we're not to put that on one side, because God is putting the focus on love. He's showing us how this faith, this authority that he's been releasing amongst us, has now got to be expressed in love. So, you can learn this fivefold confession very easily from the fingers of your hand. What is a confession of faith? Well, we know a confession of sin is admitting your sin and speaking it out. You don't actually confess your sin till you speak it out to God. Hello? Yes. Thinking about it is not confessing it, but speaking it out and asking God's forgiveness. But we are called to be people of faith, so we are to be confessing faith, speaking out faith from the heart. So there are five ways in which we're to do this. Now, if you take your little finger, which is the weakest finger, the first way we do this is to speak the truth over ourselves. Because if you don't do this, then you will not live and walk by faith. And you know that we teach you to keep speaking the word over your own life. Keep confessing the word over your own life, that whatever God says in his word is truth about you, your place in Christ, your position in Christ, and so on. I've got to move fast because there's a lot to pack into this overview this morning. I'd like to spend time to speak about each of these things, but we can't do that. But you know the principle, most of you, how you speak the word over your own life. Then the next finger is the one that you can't move without moving other fingers, at least most of us can't. That helps us to understand that we are interrelated and interdependent upon other people in the body of Christ. So we speak the word, we confess the word to one another. Very important that we are encouraging one another, building one another up by speaking the word of God. Much better to do that than to judge, to criticize, to think negatively, to gossip or anything like that. All that stuff is out, isn't it? That's a never, although it's not the never that I was referring to at the beginning. Okay, so thirdly, your tallest finger, biggest finger, you speak the word to God. We pray according to the word of God. We pray the promises of God into being. We know that when our prayer is consistent with the word of God, we are praying according to the will of God, because he expresses his will in his word. And then there's the accusing finger. So we speak the word of God to the enemy. This is what Jesus did, you remember, when he was tempted in the wilderness. He said, "It is written." And that's what you need to do with the enemy. You don't have to sort of put on some aggressive voice or anything like that. You just tell him what is written, because he cannot unwrite what is written. And he cannot deny the truth of what God has spoken. And then, of course, there is the thumb. Now, that is apart from these other four things, because this is speaking the word of God out into the world. But we have been set apart from the world. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. We don't belong to the world. But we do have to confess, to speak out the truth of God in the world, wherever we are, using every opportunity to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, of course, we do all these five all the time. It isn't that we say, well, okay, I'll begin with number one and I'll work through, and then I'll concentrate on number two, number three, number four, number five. No, it doesn't work that way. So we are confessing these five things. Now, you see, Jesus says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's as simple as this. If the truth is in your heart, you will do this. Now, of course, you have to keep that level of truth in your heart. This is why it's so important for you to be reading the Word of God every day. And you know, it doesn't have to be a startling time. You don't have to have a sort of a mega time of revelation. I spend time every day with the Word. Quite a long time. And you see, I'm just getting filled with the Word. But the point is, if I'm full of the Word, when I speak, the Word will come out. Because the Word has become part of me. The Word, you know, you become what you read, really. The more you focus on the Word, the more you become like the Word, the more you will speak the Word. Of course, you've got to believe it in your heart. Hello? Yes. You're not just reading it like a novel which you're going to forget, but these are the words of life. Okay, now, next, we know that over recent years, God has taught us the principles of covenant. And if we're going to love one another, then we've got to put the principles of covenant into operation. And in my book, or The True Covenant, we have the seven principles of covenant by which we live. Now, we haven't sort of revisited these for some time, so it would be good just to remind you of what they are. First of all, covenant says, I belong to you and you to me. Now, covenant is something that you don't have any option about. When you were born again, you were made part of the new covenant. And God does not count ignorance as innocence. Hello? To be ignorant of covenant does not make you innocent. If you're ignorant of it and don't live according to covenant, then really, I can't dress it up, that is sinful. So God wants us to understand covenant, because you can't live by what you do not understand. So it's important for us to go into the scriptures, and you can get this book. There's no time for me to explain all the biblical background to each of these seven principles. But covenant is belonging. We belong to God. He actually belongs to us. I am your God, you are my people. Covenant. And therefore we belong to one another. So we don't have any option really to leave the church or to do anything like that, because we belong to a people. When you hear of people sort of leaving a church and, you know, they get upset about something or other and say, oh, I'm leaving, they just don't understand covenant, because covenant, the easiest way to understand covenant is by marriage. Now, of course, it's not like the marriage between a man and a woman, but their marriage is a covenant relationship with one another, not based just on emotion, but on the decision, as you heard last week. They've decided to be one together for the rest of their lives, for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, sickness and health, till death do us part. Covenant. That's what covenant is about. But you see, we're in covenant by one another because we are made living stones of the temple of God. We're made members of the body of Christ. So we belong to one another, and we've got to work that out in practice. Then the second principle of covenant, I'm reading them as they're in the book. I love you and am willing for you to love me. Now, that's agape love, isn't it? Yes, we will have that filial love where we actually like one another as well as love one another. But we are called to express love to one another in action, not emotion. Hello? The world lives by emotion. We live by action. We do love. We don't just talk love or feel love, we do love. Hello? So it has to, if we're to love one another, which is the new covenant command that God gave to his church, you are to love one another as I have loved you, then that has to be a matter of giving, but also of being prepared to be loved. You've got to allow others to love you, or else you are sinning by causing them to sin because you won't let them love you. Hello? So all this independent, I'm all right, I can do it, I don't need anything, I'm quite self-sufficient, thank you, is sin. That's not faith. Self-sufficiency is sin. I'm sort of trying to put it nice and gently for you this morning. But, you know, we've got to call it what it is, otherwise we won't see the independence. You've heard me say again and again, independence is the worst sin in the Bible. Whenever man acts independently of God, it is trouble. And if we are dependent upon God, we have to be interdependent upon one another. You know, you sometimes hear about independent Christian sitting at home having a wonderful time with Jesus on a Sunday morning instead of being in church. He is in deception, complete deception. Because to function in relation to God in the way that he desires, you have to be in relationship with other believers. Because the church is a body. It is the vine. We are the branches. And so on. There's a lot more could be said about that. Number three, I will provide for you when I'm able and will not withhold what I can do to bless you. Covenant. Nobody counts what he has as his own. Because everything belongs to the Lord. So everything is available to the Lord. So if he wants to take something that could be regarded as mine in order for me to bless you, then that's his prerogative. So he can tell me, give, 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 bless, provide. It's a heart attitude. How can I bless you? How can I provide for you? You see, when it comes to the offering time, that's to be an act of love from the heart. Not, this is my duty to tithe. From the heart. But it's great, it's wonderful when I hear, as I do from time to time, of how money passes between different people in the congregation. That's covenant. Somebody finds that somebody else has a need and they've got the wherewithal, so they supply the need. That's covenant. That's love. That's good. Love in action. People provide fees for people to come to college, Rafi. That's love in action. It's good. It's covenant. Amen? And of course, when you give like that, God gives good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You can never be a loser in giving. You will just get more and more and more. Hallelujah. Then number four, I will defend you against any who speak or act against you and will refuse to speak negatively of you myself. That's covenant. I love my wife. She is not perfect, except by what it says in the Word of God. But you have never heard me criticize my wife. And I trust those of you who are married would never criticize your wife, or you wives would never criticize your husbands. Because you're in covenant with them. You defend them against anyone who wants to criticize them or run them down. Covenant has that, love really has that defensiveness about it. If one of your kids is messing up at school and getting in trouble with some other parents or something, you would defend your child. Even if your child is in the wrong, you might go and want to correct them privately, but in front of others, you would defend them. It's covenant. It's love. But that's how it is to be throughout the whole body of Christ. Refuse to listen to gossip or anything negative or any criticism of one another. Say, I'm sorry, you're talking about my brother, you're talking about my sister, I refuse to listen. Talking about my family. Because this is your family. Jesus pointed to his disciples and said, here's my mother, my sister, my brothers, this is family. Oh, you have a sort of a natural family out there, but as soon as you're born again, you become part of another family. And actually, according to Jesus, that family even takes precedence over your natural family. Just thought I'd throw that one in. Number five, moving on swiftly. I will honor you and will obey those who are over me in the Lord. There's so much in Scripture about the ways in which we're to honor one another. And how we're to give honor, to give double honor to those who are over us in the Lord. Why do we honor one another? Because that person sitting next to you is a temple of the Holy Spirit. God has called that person. God has chosen that person. God has honored that person by coming to live within them. If God has honored that person in such a way, don't you think you should honor him or her? And to honor is more than respect. You are to show honor. You are to find ways or look for ways, use the opportunities that you have to show honor to other people, especially to those who are over you in the Lord. No time to go into more detail now. Number six, read the book if you want more detail. I will be faithful to you and will not treat my covenant responsibilities lightly. Faithfulness is an indispensable part of love. We know that God is love, therefore he is faithful. He is faithful to his word, he is faithful to his promises, he's faithful to his covenant children. And you are a covenant child of God. Come on, you're going to be quiet on me. You are a covenant child of God. So God is always faithful to you. Therefore, he wants you to be faithful to one another. And we're faithful in the way in which we are consistent in our love. You know, faithfulness equals consistency. Hello? It's not a matter of feeling, of loving when you feel like it, or of giving when you feel you've got plenty of surplus to give away. It's being faithful in doing all the time, irrespective of your circumstances or feelings, what you need to do in order to express covenant love for others. It's a heart thing, you see. I wish there was more time to talk about that, but just do it, then you won't need to talk about it. Number seven. I will forgive you. I will not allow any failure on your part to hinder our relationship. If I fail in my love for you, I shall be quick to ask for your forgiveness. We're not always going to get it right, but instead of judging and condemning and slamming one another, we forgive. We're quick to forgive. And once you realize that you have messed up, you should be quick to ask for forgiveness. Okay, now let's just have the summary up of these seven things, because that's the full sort of text. But there's a summary. First of all, I belong to you. Now, you understand this in three ways. This is what God says to you. This is what you say to God. Remember, all the speaking has got to come from the heart. This is the confession of faith. So God says it to you. You say it to God. And therefore you say it to others. So God says, I belong to you. You say, I do not belong to myself. I belong to you. You paid the price for me. And you say to your brothers and sisters, I belong to you. In Christ, we are one. God has called us to be of one heart, of one mind. We're part of one body. We're members of the one vine of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then secondly, I love you. God says that. He actually says, I have loved you, doesn't he? Because he's shown his love by what he's done. We can say, Lord, I love you, and he knows that that is only real if we obey him. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Yes? And so we can say, I love you to others, not in some superficial, I love you, brother, I love you, sister. I mean, what on earth does that mean? But I love you means I'm backing what I say with my life and what I have. It's from the heart. It's meaningful. Then number three, I will give to you is what God promises. He gives to us and gives to us. He promises to go on giving to us because every day we stand in His grace. And we therefore say, because we're in covenant, I give to you. We give the tithe, we give our free will offerings, but whatever we do for the least of these our brethren, we do for Him. So we're giving to Him in many ways all the time. But then we say to our brother and sister, I give to you. Because we're in covenant. Then number four, I will defend you. God says He will defend us. He is a shield about us. He is our fortress. He is our refuge. And we say, Lord, I will defend you against any who speak against you, any who deny you, any who speak against your word. I will defend your word. You have made me a witness of the truth. But therefore, we also say, I will defend you, brother. I will defend you, sister. Because we are part together of the one covenant. Amen. Then number five, I will honor you. It's amazing, but there are so many ways in the scriptures, no time for me to go through them all now, where God says to us, I honor you. He honors those who honor Him. So amazing, the God, the creator of the universe, the one who is perfect, holy, and all the rest, He says, I honor you. He honors you when you obey Him. He honors you when you walk in righteousness. He honors your faith when He answers your prayer. He's honoring you all the time. Why? You honor Him. We honor Him when we worship Him. We honor Him when we obey Him. We honor Him when we give to Him and so on. But then we honor one another, as I've already spoken about this morning. Then number six, I will be faithful to you. God promises His faithfulness to us. So we need to say, Lord, I will be faithful to you because we're in covenant with Him. But because we're in covenant with one another, then we say, I will be faithful to you. I will be faithful to Kingdom Faith Church. Look, don't try to be super spiritual and say, no, we've got to be faithful to the Lord. If you're faithful to the Lord, you'll be faithful to Kingdom Faith Church. You cannot divide the two. You can't say, well, I'll be faithful to the Lord, but never mind the church. No, if you're going to be faithful to the Lord, you'll be faithful to Kingdom Faith Church, which means you are faithful to the leadership, you're faithful to the other members, because you're a faithful person with a faithful heart. All a matter of the heart, isn't it? And then number seven, I will forgive you. God says that, I will forgive you. Every time you sin, you turn to me, you repent of your sins, I will forgive you. This is the one thing that we never have to do to God. That He does for us and we can't do for Him in response. We can only thank Him for His mercy. But we can show how thankful we are by forgiving others. And there's the parable of the unmerciful servant. God was not pleased when He forgave, but others didn't forgive Him in return. Okay, now, they then go to what Pastor Clive was talking about last week, this love tank. And we saw there's five ways in which you will express love to other people. Agape, not emotional love, not eros, not philia, but agape. First, there is the affirmation, affirming one another. Well, we've talked about that. This is no new revelation for us, because when we confess the word over one another, the second finger, we are affirming one another. We're encouraging one another. When we defend one another, we're affirming one another. It needs to be our language of faith, but also our language of love. Faith working through love. Amen? If it's in the heart, that's what we will do. Secondly, quality time. You realize that God is always ready to have quality time with you. You know, you might miss a time of prayer, but His attitude is, where were you? I was waiting for you. I was ready to have quality time. Or you dash away after 5 minutes. He says, where have you gone? I want quality time with you. But we know that some people express, this is the way of expressing love, to give quality time to people. Some are good at affirming, some are good at giving quality time. Then thirdly, there was giving. This is giving and receiving is the way in which some people find it easiest to express love. But we've seen this is all part of covenant. Then fourthly, there is serving. Some express their love in the way they serve others. And praise God for the servants, because Jesus came as the greatest servant of all. And then fifthly, there's this touch. Some can communicate love through touch. And of course God does, because He touches us. It's good to have a touch from God, isn't it? We all know what that means. Not some sentimental or emotional or just physical thing, but it's God doing something by the Spirit. Now, let's put this all together in this way. Here are the seven principles of covenant and the five ways of expressing love. And what you see is those five ways on the right are the five different ways of expressing the seven principles of covenant. Are you there? Now, there's been some interesting things going on among members of the staff during the last few days. I've noticed some discernible changes in some people. Because what they've been doing, clearly, they haven't been making fuss and a bother about it, but you just see the results. As Pastor Clive was saying last week, all of us, of those things on the right there, we find one of those five, our greatest strength, perhaps two of them, we're really good at. But I've noticed in these last days, how people have been working at the things they're not good at, that don't come naturally. And that's the whole point, you see. It's not just the way that I find it easy to express love, but how do I need to express love for my brother or my sister? So, you know, I've noticed some people that weren't very affirming, becoming much more affirming. And some people learning how to spend quality time. Hello? I don't know if we've got into touch very much. That's perhaps just as well. But I mean, the giving and serving is a right time to touch and a right way to touch, isn't there? So it's always in purity. So, what God is saying to us now is, I've taught you the principles of covenant. Now I'm going to help you to outwork those principles to an even greater extent than you did before. Because I want you to work them out not just in the way that you have found natural in the past, but I want your love for one another to increase in practical ways, because you are expressing love to others in the way that they need to be loved. Is this making sense to you? Never. Say never to you. Never. Come on, say it to someone. Never. Never. Never, never. Now, what's this never about? Well, all this is the purpose of God. Anybody say amen to that? And, you know, one of the things I love in the Old Testament is how the Scripture says, when God presents his will and his purpose, he says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts. The NIV doesn't use the phrase Lord of hosts, but Lord Almighty. I think that's a pity, really. I mean, he is the Lord Almighty, but he's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of all the hosts in heaven. He's the Lord of all the hosts who serve him on earth. Now, for all of his purposes, this Lord has zeal. Why? Because when you are zealous, something is coming from your heart. You are putting everything that is in your heart into what you're doing. So he says, the zeal of the Lord, his zealousness for his word, his zealousness for his will, his zealousness for his purposes, will see them performed. Yes. I know the plans I have and carry them out I will. That's the zeal of the Lord of hosts. He is absolutely determined to see his will fulfilled. So what is this never? Well, those of you who are at the prayer meeting, Pastor Jonathan Croft, who is leading it, actually used the scripture where Paul says, and of course, it's important to take note of what he says, because we saw right at the beginning that everything that is going to honor God has to come from the heart. You see? Well, what does he say? Your love has to come from the heart. What you say has to come from the heart. What you believe comes from the heart. Your worship is from the heart. Your obedience is from the heart. Your work is from the heart. So if the zeal of the Lord of hosts fulfills all this, God says to us, never be lacking in zeal. That's a command. Never be lacking in zeal. Never, ever, 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 ever be in the place before God or before one another where you are not full of zeal. Well, what does that mean? You are zealous in your love. You are zealous when you speak. You are zealous in your faith. I mean, when you pray with faith, you're zealous. You are zealous when you worship. You are zealous in your obedience. You are zealous in your work. Why? Because you're doing it with all your heart as unto the Lord. Yes. So, God's got this little question for you. Do you have a zealous heart? 15 do. What is a zealous heart? You're on fire. No compromise. Nothing half-hearted. You're on fire. I mean, your whole being is involved in what you do. Now, I'm sure that all of you have known times of zealousness. But what God is doing in this season, what he's been doing in these last 2 or 3 months, what he's wanting to do now in terms of loving one another, is he's increasing the zeal. He's stirring up the fire. Amen? Let's all stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, it's easy to see all these things up on the board, isn't it? But, oh, they've got to be written on our hearts, haven't they? Because all these things have got to come from the heart. Hallelujah. Why don't you just lift your hands now and lift your heart to God and say, Lord, I want to love you from the heart. I want to love others from the heart. I want to be zealous in my love for you. Zealous in my love for others. Full of zeal, full of fire, Lord. I want to be on fire. I want the love. Stir up that love, Lord. Fan the flame. Stir up the gift that is within me. Zealous in love. Lord, I want to be zealous in the way I speak. Zealous in the way I affirm and encourage others. Zealous in the way I defend the truth. Zealous in the way I witness. Zealous in using the opportunities you give me. Oh, Lord, I want to be so on fire, I won't be able to keep quiet. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord, for a zealous heart. When you gave me a new heart, you didn't give a half-hearted heart. You gave me a zealous heart. Lord, I want to believe from the heart and so live as a saved person. When I pray, I want to pray from the heart. When I speak to mountains, I want to believe in the heart that they will be moved. Oh, Lord, stir up that faith in my heart, I pray, by your Holy Spirit. I want to be so full of zeal when I pray, so full of zeal when I come against the enemy. I'm going to overcome him because of the fire that is in me. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I want to worship you from the heart. I don't want to come and sing songs to you. I want to worship you. I want to make music in my heart. Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, Lord, I want there to be that worship, that zeal to give you the glory, to give you the honor, to give you the praise that you are due. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to obey you from the heart. I don't want to be like that man in the parable that said he would go to work in the field but didn't go. I don't want to be one of those superficial Christians. I don't want to be one of those super spits that says all the right thing but never does them. Lord, I want zeal to obey you. I want to be so zealous, Lord, that I will obey you rapidly and quickly and respond. When you speak to me, I won't delay. I won't say, well, when it suits me or well, I'll think about it. No, Lord, I want to be so zealous in my obedience. Lord, I want to work with zeal. Whatever you ask me to do, whatever act of service, whatever way in which you want me to give, Lord, when I need to spend quality time with people, to do it with zeal. Not make out that there's so many other things I want to be doing at the same time. No, Lord, I want to give to people with zeal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, I don't want to be afraid of the right way, the right time to reach out and touch people in pure love. To encourage, to affirm, to build them up, to show right kind of affection. Lord, I thank you for a zealous heart. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Now, I just want you to be still. We're just going to pray for a couple more minutes. During the prayer meeting at the beginning, there was prayer that this morning God would do signs, wonders, miracles, healings in people's lives. And I was just sitting in the front, sort of quietly preparing for the word and thinking, well, in what way does God want to do that this morning, knowing the kind of word that was coming? But I believe that what God wants to do right now is heal hearts. Broken hearts, discouraged hearts, cold hearts, hard hearts. I believe he wants to do something in those that have known zeal but have lost it. And you know full well that you don't function in relation to God or to others in the way that once you did. Now the Lord is here. His Spirit is upon you. You can say to him now, Lord, heal my heart. Purify my heart. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a right spirit of zeal within me. Renew my heart, Lord. Do something in me now, supernaturally, so that this week I will put into operation the fivefold confession of faith, the seven principles of covenant. And I will express those in the five ways. So my love tank will be full and full of zealous love for you and for others. Come on, lift your hand to the Lord now and receive from him. Just receive it from him. Just say, Holy Spirit, work that in my heart right now. It's not something you can feel, is it? It's something you believe. Something you see the need of. Something you reach out for God to do. Something that now you believe he does. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for working it in my heart. Thank you for doing it. Thank you that this week, as I apply your word to my life and my life to the words that I've heard this morning, thank you that this week is going to be different. I'm going to be different. That this zeal is going to rise up within me and it's going to get stronger and stronger. The more I put your word into practice, the stronger my zeal will become. And I praise you. And I bless you, and I exalt you. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big hand. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just turn to those around you and say, never be lacking in zeal.